So I want you guys just to stand up if you don't have issues. Okay, all right, we're all in good company then. Okay, hallelujah. You know, he was in John 6 earlier when we were receiving, quote-unquote, air quotes, the offering. Just let's go to John 6 with me for just a moment. Because what I was going to say is kind of all out the window, so we're just going to let God roll. And just whatever is where we're going to go. But here in John 6, verse 5. It says, Jesus, therefore, lifting up his eyes and seeing that a great multitude was coming to him, said to Philip, where are we to buy bread that these may eat? And he was saying to him, test him, for he himself knew what he was intending to do. He himself knew what he was intending to do. So what is he actually doing? He's doing the same thing the Lord did to Jeremiah. He's basically asking him, what do you see? What do you see? What do you see in this situation? What is the perspective that you have about what is going on here? Because see, what our perspective is has a lot to do with how we overcome or don't overcome our situation. Your perspective. Are you willing to be an overcomer? Are you willing to press through? Are you willing to see what God might have in a situation that you haven't even thought about yet? Are you willing to let God show you something that goes beyond your comfort zone? Those are the things that make a difference out of our perspective. See, he wants to show us a perspective that is above our own ability. Last year, I took my grandson to the beach, and we were all at the beach. And, you know, from his perspective, he probably thinks that ocean exists right there in Galveston, if he has any regional thought about it at all. From his perspective, all he knows is that Grammy and Pops took him down to the beach, and we got in the car, and we went about 2 minutes from the beach house, and there we are. That's his perspective. His perspective was he was in it, and it was probably less than my knee deep when he was in it. He probably thinks the whole ocean is like that, but he has no perspective that it's up to 5 miles deep somewhere else. He has no idea that same water that's there encompasses the whole world because of perspective. It's impossible for him to see from that perspective everything that was available to him. In the same way, God is trying to increase our perspective about what's available to us. He was trying to increase Philip's perspective. He's saying, what do you see, Philip? How do you evaluate where we're at? Because see, in that evaluation is your graduation. That's how God can begin to speak and release. If you'll let him be a part of your evaluation, he can lead you to the graduation. He can begin to shake and change and shape things differently than you had an expectation for. You know, sometimes as one door closes, that door is also opening another door. I had a door close on me today. And at first glance, it was like, ooh. You know, you kind of shrink back for a moment. But see, that door opened 12 other doors, which opened more doors. And it's a matter of perspective. Because I began to learn. I learned something from T.D. Jakes, and he said, "When there's something in front of you, stare at it until you let God tell you what it can be. Stare at it. If you see something in the Word and you don't quite understand it, stare at it. See, staring at it got me saved. I didn't even understand those things yet, but when I was staring at the Word." See, when I was staring at the Word in Acts 2, I just kept reading Acts 2. I kept reading Acts 2. I kept reading Acts 2. Everybody else had left the church. Out of 1,500 people, there were maybe less than 50 people there. Because I was staring at this Word. And something out of that word. I didn't understand. I never did get to the point where I understood. Something rose up in me and says, I've got to know this God that's behind this thing. I can see something's happening here. I can see something happen. I saw that some fire came on some people and some lives changed. I understand that they began speaking in ways that I don't understand anything about, but I do understand something called love is beginning to move through me as I read this. Stare at it. When you begin to stare at it, it begins to talk to you and begins to speak to you when you're staring at the Word. But the same way, you can use the same purpose on meditation to stare at it and let God speak to you about whatever it is, this door that just closed, what's being opened up. Because see, when one place closes, another is being opened. When one thing's coming to an end, another thing is opening up in a brand new way. And I guarantee you, the way this is opening up, it's going to be greater than what was there before. God has a place for us in the perspective. He has a place for us in the anointing of understanding what He's doing from His perspective. When you say, begin to look at something, you can begin to understand what it can do. In order for us to understand what something can do, we have to maybe get above where we've been. When we get above where we've been, now we can begin to take in things from a new perspective. Because it's not about anything else but what God is going to show you. Your circumstance can't control you. Only the way you see it. Only the way you'll believe through it or about it. Hallelujah. Sometimes when we need perspective, we have to change where we are. When Orville and Wilbur were researching and looking into, trying to understand how to build this airplane, they had to change where they were. Because see, they were building this thing, and they could get it up, and they recognized we have a limited amount of propulsion that we can put to this plane, but where we are in Dayton, Ohio, is not sufficient wind for us to ever get it airborne. So they began to do research. And when they began to do research, then they were brought to a place of recognizing that in Kitty Hawk, they got great wind all the time. So they had to move where they were so that their perspective became different, and so that now that God can move through a new situation out of a refreshed perspective. See, it's impossible for you to soar until you break some other rule called gravity. You have to move out of where you were and begin to take advantage of a new perspective. You begin to stand up and recognize a new plane, a new law in your life. There's a law that's coming into your life that's greater than the law of gravity. And that law was called the aerodynamics of lift. The law of aerodynamics was superior to the law of gravity. But until they moved and changed their location, they couldn't take advantage of their perspective. God is calling you to step in to a new perspective. He's calling you to step into a new place. Why? Because we want to soar. Because there are some things that have tried to come upon your life, and all they want to do is keep you tied to the ground. It's time to change that perspective and let something happen in you that causes you to soar and rise above the circumstance. It's going to cause you to rise above whatever was keeping you down. God's looking to bring you into a new place by putting a new wind in your perspective. A new wind in your wing. And he's going to show you not only how to put a new wind in your wing, he's going to show you how to shape the wing so that it brings you a greater result. Hallelujah. It's called perspective. See, sometimes, remember that they had to step into to a place where there was a greater lift, and they had to step into a greater law, meaning that they had to leave the law of gravity behind. You can't get off the ground until you leave the law of gravity behind. As much as I might want to try, I'm not leaving the ground until I leave the law of gravity behind. And with my skinny little arms, I'm not going to generate enough lift. But we have to step into the perspective. We have to step into where God is going to lift you up because you left something behind. So sometimes it's what we have to leave behind that's really the biggest issue. The number one problem for CEOs is not having a vision, but convincing people to leave what they already had behind. When you have a change in direction, the hardest part of the change in direction is to leave whatever was there before behind. It's hard for us to most people don't really like change because they don't want to leave what they've already been comfortable with behind. You know how people's houses get full of junk. Why? Because we don't want to leave something behind. Oh, yeah, he went there. Because why? We got comfortable with it. But you know what? It's hard to reach the next place until you leave something else behind. Hallelujah. It's time to step in, and you step into the next place by leaving something behind. When an opportunity shows up, and believe me, opportunity always shows up, will you recognize it? That's what he's asking Philip. Do you recognize the opportunity that's right here? Do you recognize the thing that's right here with you? This moment in time, if you recognize this moment in time, it's an opportunity because we're fixing to evangelize 5,000 people. We're fixing to shift 5,000 people's understanding of what is possible. Do you recognize the opportunity? Because if we'll recognize the opportunity, and it allows him to bring us into a new perspective, we have to see it like he sees it, and we have to understand that in that process, in that moment, that he's going to, that we, if we're not careful, we're only looking at what has been lost instead of what can be gained. He wants to teach us how to look at what's to be gained. What is to be gained? This situation, this door closes, but that only means that there's a new opportunity for a new door somewhere. Where is it? Where is it? Where is it? Where is it? Is it here? Is it here? Is it here? What's to be gained? You see, if you spend all your time looking behind, you cannot look ahead to what he's already doing. You can't look ahead to what he already prepared, what he's already established. See, Christ knew you, and even when you were still lost in your sin, it says in Ephesians 2 and 4, he says that because of his great mercy, he has great mercy, he's rich in mercy because of his great love, that he raised you up with Christ and seated you in heavenly places. What is that? That's perspective. What's perspective? But he goes on in verse 10 to tell you that you're his workmanship, his master craftsmanship, created for good, benevolent, profitable works that he prepared for you beforehand. That means he went along and made the way before you ever got to the way. He prepared to race you. You're going to land before you ever started to soar. He's already prepared it, and he's already looking for it, and he's already drawing you. He's drawing you into it out of his great love. It's his great love that is drawing us into it. It's his great love that is bringing us in to where he wants to go. He says he's rich in mercy. His richness in mercy caused you to be lifted up. We have an understanding of the grace of God, and we understand that the grace of God is here. But you know what? His mercy, that's an unending love, lifted you up and seated you in a heavenly place. So you could have perspective. So you could begin seeing your life not out of the things, that out of the limitations that we currently have, but out of the understanding and the all-encompassing knowledge that God has. His omniscient presence, His omniscient wisdom. It's already there for us, waiting for us, pulling us and lifting us. Hallelujah. What we do with the opportunity, as we begin to see it, is our gift to Him. What we do with the opportunity, see, God's opportunity is a gift to you. What you do with it is your gift back to Him. Because it's a moment where He can begin to release something to you into your care, into your stewardship. But see, what you do with the stewardship is how you praise Him. And that can be in any dynamic that we look at in our daily walk. It can be anything from our finances to our emotions to our gifting in the natural. It doesn't matter. What we do with the opportunity is how we're presenting praise to Him. He has a plan and a purpose. He's already called you to have impact in the world around you. He's already called you with a plan for good and not bad. He's called you with a plan for you to overcome and to succeed. All we have to do is begin to align our hearts in Him. Become one in Him. Become into that place where He's lifted us up. Step into the perspective He's delivering and allow Him to speak and release through that. It's a gift. Opportunity calls. What we do with it is a gift. Will we even see it? It's a gift. Those gentlemen had no idea what Christ was training them to do in that moment. They had no idea that He was training them to see, not from the world's perspective, but from heaven's perspective. He was teaching them in those moments to begin to look at the world around them as something that could be molded and shaped by the God that was with them. When we begin to understand our world around us as something that is being molded or can be molded by the God within us, it sure changes how we expect things to happen for us. You know, when I grew up with an environment, let's just say it this way, an environment where there's a lot of negativity. And I watched my father, who was a brilliant man, but every time he would get to the level where something good could happen, he would sabotage it and walk away from it. That's a lot of negativity. Because something in him couldn't believe that he was good enough to let something happen. Now you way around that, then that negativity begins to condition how you think. But I can tell you, the Spirit of the Lord can begin to retrain how you see. You retrain what you will believe. Because see, what you will believe is the only thing that limits you. What you will stand and let the Lord do in you and through you is the only thing that's limiting you. You don't have to be limited by fear anymore. You don't have to be limited by unworthiness anymore. You don't have to be limited by the unbelief anymore. You don't have to be limited by a doubt or poverty or any of those other things anymore. Just say with me, I'm not limited by my circumstance, by my past, by who I am. I am a son of God who is unlimited when I stand in his perspective. So he's speaking into your heart. He's giving you an opportunity to see the world in a brand new way. He's giving you an opportunity to see things outside where you've been. See, my history doesn't have to be my destiny. Say it with me. My history is not my destiny. Again, believe it now. My history is not my destiny. My history is not my destiny. See, that's more than just changing a few words about what we're speaking. It's changing how we see the world around us. It's allowing him to cause you to see. See, he wasn't challenged when Jeremiah said he saw that, what was it, a cistern or what, something. It basically, when he saw that, he wasn't challenged by what it was he was seeing. He just wanted him to know, you can see. I'll work with the rest. I'll perfect the rest. But I want you to know, if you walk with me, you can see. See, John 1:4 tells us that in him was life, and that life is the light of men. When we're walking with him, that light begins to shine and illuminate what's in front of us. As we walk with the light, then he begins to make a way where we didn't even see a way. Because he gives us perspective. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're not limited. That's good. Let's say it. I'm not limited. My heart, my eyes, my ears, no longer limited. I'm willing to see in a brand new way. Hallelujah. Pastor?
Ah. Oh, man, what a service tonight. Praise God. I mean, you got that. Wow, Father, thank you for the Spirit, the Word. Thank you for your seven spirits that are resting upon us. Seven inheritance resting upon us. Spirit of wisdom and understanding, counsel and might. Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Father, we thank you for the seven inheritance that will continue upon us. Continue. Say continue. Continue. When you wake up in the morning, thank you, Father, for the seven inheritances upon me. Hey, Cody, before we close, where's Cody at? You still here? Come here, Cody. Let's give Cody a big hand. Hallelujah. He's our new graphic artist and all that, and he's pretty good. Praise God. Anyway, he just shares what he was just sharing with me. He was over there watching Super Bowl at the house, and he says, man, I just tell you, I'm getting so blessed. Just tell him what you do in the morning. And then what happens when you go to work and what God does for you.
Yeah, ever since he told me to keep the word of sworn to multiply, it took me like 3 or 4 times to get the message in. But finally, once I got it, I would just hold the word in my heart and I'll just really focus. And I really think and picture Christ or the Lord swearing to Abraham's seed. And I am that seed because I'm in Christ. And I just hold on to that word and I just repeat it over and over. Father, you swore that you would bless me, and blessing you will bless me, and multiplying you will multiply me. And I'll just keep saying it over and over until that atmosphere will shift.
Yes.
And once...
Wait. Hold on. Don't miss that part. Don't miss that part. It's just like that offering we're in. Just like that offering tonight, you got to do it till the atmosphere shifts. You see that? We don't just give, we lift it until the atmosphere shifts. He does it till what? Say it with me. Till the atmosphere shifts. If you'll just spend enough time doing this, blessing you'll bless me. Now what happens?
Well, I'll feel it shift and I'm charged up and I'm ready for my day. So So I'll go out to work, and before I've been struggling for like a good year just trying to get sales, because I do door-to-door sales and I deal with people on a day-to-day basis, and I've struggled for until I got this revelation pretty much, and now I'll just get out there and it's like the favor's just on me, and I'll just, God's just blessing my socks off, and I'm able to just make many sales and have favor with man, and it's really awesome.
Praise God. Yeah. Isn't that good? He's walking in the kingdom.
Yeah. And actually, for the first time, for the first time in my whole life, I actually have a savings account, and like I'm building up a savings, so it's pretty awesome.
Praise God. So if you'll take time before you get out in your day, and get quiet with the Lord, get positioned and hold His word. You keep it in your heart and your mouth and in a state of focus, and just start practicing. Like He said, He listened to it. Listen to this. He listened to it 4 or 5 times until He got it. There's a whole new series we have called Sworn to Multiply, the 7 Inheritances. You should just go into the recent teachings, listen to them, impact, let that impact you, amen? And then practice it and just hold that word. Father, you swore. You have to understand when He swore into Abraham, into Christ, He was swearing to you. You've got to get that part, and then you can receive it, amen? And He says, Father, you swore. And He'd say, He would do that and do that. That's what I do. I do it until it shifts. And then when you get shift, you'll feel the atmosphere come around you. When you get that atmosphere around you, then you'll go out into the workplace, and all of a sudden, instead of going working for it, it'll be drawn to you. It'll find you because you're a magnet now. Amen? You're a magnet for blessing. You're a magnet for favor. You're a magnet for goodness. You're a magnet for mercy. You're not a magnet for rejection. Amen? You're not a magnet for failure. You're not wearing that system. You're wearing the kingdom. Amen? And it'll get drawn to you, and it'll be easy, and you'll start having a savings account. That's just the blessing arena. Those 7 inheritances encompass everything. Amen? Practice until that atmosphere starts shifting. Get that teaching, sworn to multiply, and especially the ones sworn to multiply, the 7 inheritances. Listen to it till you get it. Amen? Look at your neighbor before we close. Say, listen till you get it, then practice it, and watch what happens. Amen? Hey, Todd, good to see you, brother. Blessings to you. Let's give Todd a big hand. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He's the fitness pro over at the villa. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you for the blessings. Thank you for the goodness. Thank you, you have sworn, Father, to multiply us. Amen. God bless you all. Praise the Lord. Have safe travels on the way home. Wake up tomorrow. Make time for God. Remember, your enemy will be there. His name is distraction. He's not going to come up tomorrow morning with a horns on his head and a pitchfork and said, I am here to steal your time. He doesn't do that. He will come in the form of distraction. Do not wake up with a cell phone in your hand. I'm even going to do that tomorrow myself. Do not wake up with an iPad in your hand. As soon as you connect to the world, you're going to make it that much harder to connect to God. Because that world wants to connect with you very fast. You can't go connecting up with the world for an hour and then go connect up with God and think it's going to just be a heavenly encounter. Wake up, say, no, you can wait. Prophesy to your phone. Prophesy to your iPad. Do not turn your TV on. Just run as fast as you can to wherever you pray. Get in there and practice a little bit. Amen. Sworn to multiply. Sworn to multiply. Everything that Christ is in you, to you, and through you, the Father has sworn to multiply that. Amen.